Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to the show. What the Pope is going on here? Papal puffer pick leaves people perplexed. There he is, Pope Francis, giving it the full E17.
Wow.
Stay another day.
Nice.
But guess what? It's not him. It's a deep fake photo.
I mean, it doesn't look quite in proportion.
Well, it does from a puffer jacket point of view. That's what
his
puffer
jacket looks tiny.
But that's what your head looks like when you've got a puffer
jacket on. Not that ridiculously.
Oh, I think so. I think so. Pope Francis did not show off his drip in a white puffer jacket, despite an artificial intelligence-generated image that went viral on Twitter over the weekend. A couple of pals of mine have a podcast, a very, 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 very successful, like globally successful, like, I mean, you know, gazillions of dollars successful. And it's brilliant. It's a good one. It's good for the world. And they introduce their podcast, as they always do, on a Monday whenever they do their podcast. They do a pop-up. So one of the guys does a regular podcast. I'll tell you, it's Rich Roll. Rich Roll and his friend Adam Skolnick. So now and again, they pop up for what's called a roll-on, because it's Rich's name, Rich Roll, roll on. And basically, you know, they jive and they riff and it's cool. I love it. It's actually... It is probably my favourite podcast. And they do it sort of every 2 or 3 weeks when they feel like it. And then Rich does his regular podcast and it drops every Thursday night, Friday morning, which is awesome. And Zach Braff is his last guest. Zach came on this show and we talked about Rich and his podcast because Zach was a huge fan of Rich's podcast. And I said, you should go on it. He said, he wouldn't want me on that. And then Rich asked us to send a clip of that conversation to him. And Rich's guest this week is Zach Braff because
Yay!
Of that comment, which is lovely, isn't it? But anyway, back to Roll On. So they introduced their podcast today and it was 6 or 7 minutes in, you know. And I thought, they don't sound as excited as usual, you know, because we all have that kind of thing. How they, what kind of mood, like people listen to this show or, you know, you coming in and you seeing what kind of mood I'm in and blah, 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 and vice versa. And that's how life is, isn't it? Whether you go home, whether it's, you're going home to your family, the kids come home from school or whatever. Or you meet your mates in the pub for a drink. Oh, what kind of night we're going to have? And you sort of, they call it nunchi. I think it's called nunchi, isn't it? It's a Korean kind of observation. It's you nunchi the room is what you do. And I was nunchiing this podcast. I thought, Anyway, it wasn't them. It was their AI versions. And it was the whole point of the roll-on was AI. And I couldn't tell it was AI, but something was off. I thought, oh, it seems a bit flat today. They seem a bit flat today. And it was a bit flat. And they say, that's the bit that's missing from ChatGPT's vocal or you know, because this is all there now. It's all there now. But the second they fix that, which will be in about, well, it'll be like an hour ago because things are moving that quickly, then you won't be able to tell. And they didn't even decide what they were going to say. They put into ChatGPT-4, we do a podcast. These are our names, this kind of thing we talk about. And that's all they put in. And then they came up with a 7-minute intro between the two of them with a bit of banter as well. And the whole episode was about AI. So deep faking this photograph. It's the first of many. I mean, this is where we're going with all this. So what the heck news companies, news organizations are going to do with front pages or, you know, or news stories. And that's very much what Rabbit Hole's about, which is the show that Charles Dance was on to talk about yesterday, the new Kiefer Sutherland vehicle, which was off the charts. And they are talking about, you know, there's lots of different theories, aren't there, about what's going on? You know, and you have AI, artificial intelligence, but we are, you know, if AI had to categorize us, we'd be HI, we'd be human intelligence, you know, and were we a creation of something or someone? Are we an experiment? Are we somebody else's experiment? Is AI pulling a fast one on us? Has AI always existed? Are we its creation, you know? And this thing that we talked about yesterday about the fact that humans are separate from other animals, even though they're animal, vegetable, mineral, because we are given imagination. Yes, we are given the power of speech, not just making sounds, but actual linguistics, and we are given memory. And that those three significant sort of tempos, those pillars, that the holy trinity of superpowers that we're given separate us from all other species. However, what are we doing now with all that intelligence and all that memory? and all that language. So the first thing we're doing, well, the first thing we've done is we're dealing ourselves out of the need for memory because we can Google everything. So we don't, we're actually saying, here's how we sort of untack our superpower. What's the next thing? Imagination. Well, ChatGPT-4 does that. You ask it to do anything and it will do it. You know, and as far as language is concerned, well, most people don't talk anymore. You know, even when we're here, if there's a guest outside and we need them to come in, whoever's producing the show texts whoever's with the guest and then they bring the guest in and nothing's said. So we're actually now figuring out ways of us not needing the three superpowers that we were given to make us separate from everything else. I mean, therein lies the irony. Mm-hmm. By the way, I've got to tell you now, the first 47 minutes of this show, not AI. Can you tell?
Except my bit. AI at the moment.
By the way, you'll be the first to go. You know
yeah,
that, don't
you? Yeah, of
course
I will. Yeah. AI at the moment is...
Alexander Intelligence.
Yeah. is doing coursework. So what you say is do this A-level coursework for me, yeah, and it'll do it. And then you can just run it through ChatGPT and say, did you write this? And it will say yes. But you can say... And then there's another one that you can say, make sure that nobody knows that this is AI written, and it will do that.
Yep.
And then nobody can tell that it's AI written, and that's A-level coursework.
Yeah,
that is, you know, all university coursework.
ChatGPT 3.0. Since then, there's 3.5. And as of last week, there's 4.0. Mm. So we're way ahead of that already. And you know, how clever is this stuff? If you haven't heard the show before, then you can open your fridge with your phone. Not you can't open your fridge. You probably can if you've got that kind of fridge. But you open your fridge, then you take your phone out and you take a photograph of your fridge and say, ChatGPT, recipes, please. And from a photograph of what's in your fridge, it will give you 10 recipes from what's in your fridge, 20 recipes from what's in your fridge, 100 recipes from what's in your fridge, just from the picture.
That's handy.
It is handy, and it's brilliant. You know, and I wonder where it's going to go. And did we fear the wheel? You know, do you know that Plato argued against the alphabet because he said this is the end of civilization.
The alphabet?
Yeah, because that was so advanced at the time. Somebody invented this category where everybody could write down what they wanted other people to know and other people could read it. That's AI. It's just a very, very early version of it. And Plato was dead against it. He said this is the beginning of the end for us. No. We've been given language, we've been given memory, and we've been given the chance to create with our imagination. Don't write any of this down. Dan, that's not part of the plan. And maybe he was right. Interesting though, isn't it?
Yes, fascinating.
This is all from the story today, which you have to have a look at, which is the Pope, papal puffer pick, leaving people perplexed. Rachel thinks it's so obviously a fake because the Pope's head is so small. Pope Francis does have a particularly small head. I've got to point that out to you.
Okay.
Some people do. You know, and I think if people can deep fake it this well, they're not going to get the dimensions wrong, the proportions wrong. I don't think so. And he has got a small head.
I don't think that looks fake at all.
I think that's what he would look like if he had that E17 puffer jacket on. He doesn't have it on, by the way. We've got a text about it. Somebody who works for him. We have a text about this. No other radio show has got a text about this from somebody who works for the Pope. Hi, Chris. I write concerning the photo of the Pope, which has gone viral. I'm glad that my boss is getting noticed, but if he's got one of those, I want one of those too. Reverend Martin in Staffordshire. It's good, isn't it?
It's great.
Morrison unveils two new cheesy Easter eggs. Okay, not cheesy as much as sort of the kitsch, but this is they look like white chocolate. They're cheese.
What type of cheese?
That's fun.
Now, you say what type of cheese. I immediately go, why haven't they done this before? Hmm. You know, by the way, brilliant they've done it now. But if your job is confection, this is, I mean, say we were given the job of like, okay, come up with some alternative Easter eggs. Give us 10 minutes and a pint of shandy and one shot. We'd be all over it, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Butter Easter egg. I mean, you could just off you go, yeah. Boom. I don't like having chocolate anymore at night. Well, no, I do. But I don't have it because it makes my throat gargly in the morning, usually around now. And I haven't got a gargly throat because I didn't have any chocolate last night. So, I'll have a bit of cheese. But cheese and chocolate, I mean, if you close your eyes, you know, on your tongue.
Similar joy.
Very similar, isn't it?
Yeah.
All the dairy thing. I wonder where chocolate turns left and cheese turns right and which bridge they could meet on and get back together again.
It's the sort of sweet savoury thing.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's sort of very, obviously, it's very dairy.
Do you think they go well together? Because you never had cheesy chocolate. But like a cheese.
There's your next Easter egg.
Well done.
So it's half cheese and it's half chocolate.
Nice.
Yeah, and you've got that whole sort of Terry's half and half. What was that called? Do you remember the Terry's chocolate, which was day and night?
Oh, double decker.
No.
No.
It was a box of chocolates. It's called Terry's Moonlight, is what it's called. And half of them were white and half of them were dark.
Nice.
You could get that going on. Who wouldn't want a cheesy chocolate? By the way, they're both big and mature, don't they? You're welcome. What else is going on? There's loads going on today. I'm fascinated by the two guys from Blackburn, the two brothers, who are putting in a bid for Subway, a bid of £8 billion. How much was your last Subway?
Subway has a very particular aroma.
I've never been inside a Subway. I've never stepped over the threshold of a Subway shop. And there's one in Marlow. Sorry.
In Barcelona on Sunday, walking up to the Sagra Familia, the amazing Gaudi Cathedral. And just in front of it, well, we were stood facing it and there was four of us and we all went, where's the Subway? And it was right behind us. There is such a particular aroma that comes out of a Subway.
I didn't know that. I had no idea.
There's a smell of a Subway.
I had no idea
about
that.
Good smell.
So Felix says, you know, by the way, thank you, Felix, for pulling this down from Rich Roll's podcast with his pal, Adam Skolnick. And Felix, I'm going to say what I said before. Is that all right? Okay. Felix said, you can tell it's AI. I said, no, but I just told you it was AI. It's like, you know, but I knew how the trick was done. Yeah, but I just showed you how the trick was done. Had you not known the podcast was even about AI, I know, Rich, I've been to his house, he's a friend. I didn't know it was AI. I mean, clearly you will now, all of you, I suppose. But this is the intro. They didn't allude to the fact it was AI at all until like a few minutes in. They said, by the way, that's not us, this is us. And you think, oh, thank goodness me, because I thought you were in a really bad mood. So they haven't got the intonation quite right, but it's a minute away. Because what they have got right is like they've got Mount Everest right. And we're going, yeah, but that flake of snow.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry, they'll sort the flake of snow out. Which is interesting, actually, because flake of snow is probably more sophisticated than Mount Everest. But anyway. You know what I mean?
Welcome to the Roll-On edition of the Rich Roll podcast. Today, we're excited to introduce a brand new version of Roll-On, where we'll be bringing you multiple produced segments featuring interviews with experts on various topics. And for this episode, we're diving into the world of artificial intelligence. We've got a lot of ground to cover, including a fascinating discussion with New York Times journalist Kevin Roos.
So that's not Rich. That's AI. Mm. Now, obviously, it sounds a bit flat. If you know Rich's intonation, it's not like that. But honestly, I was in the gym listening to this yesterday. I thought, oh, Rich's having a bit of an off day. Maybe they should record it on another day. But that's all I thought. I didn't think, that's not him. I didn't think that.
Yeah.
International listeners, Darren in Berlin, listening to you from Berlin, where I'm currently on a work trip. I've got two meetings this morning, and then I'm free to explore till I fly home on Thursday. I haven't been to Berlin. I want to go to Berlin. Mm.
Berlin is fabulous.
Been anywhere, beginning with a B, interesting recently, Vatos.
Oh.
Barnes?
Bournemouth and Barnes.
Bournemouth and Barnes. Anybody else?
Barcelona!
Rachel went to Barcelona at the weekend. Can't you tell?
For one night only.
Yeah, where'd you go?
We went to the Robbie Williams gig.
Wendy and Barney are listening to you. See, it's not all great.
It was amazing!
I like Robbie.
Robbie was incredible.
Of course he was.
Like a proper rock star.
Oh, he's not a rock star.
Oh, he was a rock star.
No,
he was incredible.
No, he may have been incredible, Rachel, but he's not a rock star. He's a brilliant pop star.
He presented like a rock star.
No, he didn't. Presented like a brilliant pop star.
Okay.
Rock star. Let's go for rock star. Axl Rose, rock star. Put Axl Rose next to Rob Williams. Different planet.
Robbie was a rock star for me.
Okay, good. Wendy in Bali. I'm listening to you from Bali, where it's lovely and warm, so I've just got a fresh coconut and I'm looking forward to enjoying the show whilst devouring it.
Oh, come on. So St. Lucia, Maldives, Berlin, Bali.
Barnes, Bournemouth. Love is a fresh coconut while listening to the show. You just got a fresh coffee. Your coffee's our coconut. Our coconut is your coffee. Sorry, other way around. Shane from Dartford in Lithuania. This morning. Hello, Lithuania. Anybody listening in Britain, just out of interest, also begins with B. In Lithuania, we have blue cheese chocolates. They're amazing.
Blue cheese chocolates?
Well, I suppose cheesecake is halfway, isn't it? I suppose. There must be more cheesy chocolates.
Yeah, like
This is because Morrison's have come up with a cheese Easter egg, and it looks like a white chocolate Easter egg, but it's cheese. It's Genius is what it is. They should call it Genius.
Is it the same size as a sort of standard Easter egg?
By the way, if you run a plant-based cheese company, call it Genius. Don't you think so?
Yeah.
That's great. Sorry, what did you say?
This cheese Easter egg, is it the same size as like your standard Easter egg?
It's not an Easter egg, is it? It's a cheese-ster egg.
Cheese-ster egg.
What's wrong with you, Morrison? We're doing all the work for you in between other stuff we're talking about.
We must.
This is your job. Cheese-ster egg. Genius. What's wrong with you? See, this stuff is cheesy. It's easy. No, it's not. It's cheesy. Sorry, what else?
We must patent the chocolate cheese.
Why?
Because Why? we'll
you're
buy already, Subway.
You're the heir to an absolute massive shipping fortune.
I love the fact you keep saying this.
It's true.
I mean, if you keep saying it enough, hopefully it will become true.
Rachel's got the
manifest.
Rachel's got the Taskmaster Millions.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. When this triangulation of wonder, this broadcasting wonder met, by the way, you, listeners, you don't know how lucky you are. When we all met, I could buy and sell you two all day. It's the other way around now, isn't it? Nobody... Was that? I didn't realise. It's like Succession, but nobody told me.
And I haven't got Shiv's wardrobe.
Yeah, but it's only a question of time. I'm sure you can have it delivered before you get home this morning. So, you went to Barcelona.
I went to Barcelona for about 30 hours.
So tell us the ruse.
The ruse. So Mark, who is the amazing saxophonist in the horn section, is also the saxophonist for Robbie Williams. And he was performing at Robbie's gig in Barcelona on Saturday night. And so Alex and I went along to hang out with Mark and his wife Esther and just appreciate the glory of Barcelona and the sunshine and an incredible performance by Robbie.
All right, let's start with what time did you land there?
So we were on a 9 a.m. flight.
Saturday morning. Nice.
Yeah, perfect timing. Strong. So left the house at 6:30. So a little sleep in for me. Got to the airport, nice breakfast, all very relaxed. Got on the flight, good flight. Got to the hotel just in time to join Mark and Esther and the rest of the band for lunch on the rooftop terrace in the sunshine.
How close were you to Las Ramblas?
So we walked to Las Ramblas in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, okay. So, and did you go down to the port?
Yes, we also walked around the port.
Did you have lunch? Did you have a glass of wine at the port?
We had a glass of wine on the rooftop terrace at lunch when we got
and
there.
And then went for a walk.
Then we went for a walk. Then we went for a nap. Very clever.
Disco nap.
Disco nap. Then we went for amazing tapas dinner. Then we went to the stadium and watched the gig, which was just incredible. And then we had some more drinks. I stayed up until 2 a.m.
Well, you can. I mean, when in Barcelona and all that, it's just
the vibe.
It is the vibe. It's the vibe. It's exactly that, and it's a real thing. You know, say, oh, it's the vibe, man. No, because that really happens in the air.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different vibe, and you, as long as you tune into it, you know, or you're open to being tuned by it, then of course I couldn't do dinner and then a gig. I couldn't do it. I mean,
no,
I could do
tapas.
It.
So it wasn't too full on. You know,
picky bits.
Picky bits.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Yeah.
And then. Robbie completely, obviously, rocked it. Now, look, he's not a rock star, but he can still rock it.
Okay, so perhaps that's the vibe
rock
I was getting.
Rock DJ, for example.
It was so good. The dancers were incredible.
Yep.
And just all of the songs, and he had loads of the chat going on, loads of chat in between all the songs.
Not too much chat?
No, there was a lot of chat, but we wanted the chat. It was all good chat. And then peppered with just all of his hits.
Yeah.
And some other people's hits.
Did he wear his hits very lightly on his sleeve?
What do you mean?
Well, because he has so many, you know, and they come to him so easily, which is why all the chat happens in between, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did he knock them out or did he immerse himself in them?
He immersed.
Did he?
Yeah, we all immersed.
And this was like in the open air stadium in Barcelona. It's where
there was a roof on it.
Oh, was there?
It was one of the Olympic stadiums.
Right. Because I went to see Springsteen in Barcelona. Similar sort of, it wasn't a 36-hour trip, but it's a 48-hour trip with Tash. And we went there on a scooter. Because it was the best way. You can hire scooters for like no money and no insurance. And off you go, and no helmets. And off you go, and you get into the stadium really quickly, and you can leave really quickly. I presume you walked back home. Did you walk or go?
No, we got a taxi back.
How was that?
To the hotel.
How was the traffic?
Well, we didn't leave when everybody else left. We left later, so the traffic was fine.
Oh, you did the old Spice Girls Wembley Stadium next day job?
Not quite, but close.
What time?
I think we left the stadium at like sort of midnight, and then we went.
That makes sense to me. Because there'll be some people who left when it finished who would still be in the traffic jam at midnight.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
We had a few more beverages and then left.
As long as you got somewhere to hang. Did you go backstage?
Yes.
Did you meet Robbie?
No.
So you can't have everything, can you?
I had sufficient Robbie exposure.
Were you hoping to meet Robbie?
Oh, but you're always hoping to meet Robbie.
Expecting?
Where's our T-shirt? No. Where's our T-shirts?
Oh, I didn't get any merch.
Oh, clearly. what was on offer?
I didn't even see the merch stand.
You, well, I don't know. Robbie needs to take a leaf out of Elton's book. Elton John at the weekend. So he's in the paper loads at the weekend because, you know, he's in the middle of his farewell, the final leg of his farewell tour, which is the European leg. It's not the British leg because his tour, his last ever date is in Sweden. His last UK date is Glastonbury.
Oh, wow.
He's headlining, of course. It's not the Legends spot. He's headlining, isn't he, I think? Or is it the Legends spot? Which one is it, Will? Anyway, the point is it's Glastonbury. And, you know, he played at Birmingham over the weekend. He's coming to the O2 here, and that's from this weekend. He was in court yesterday, wasn't he, mm-hmm. Elton John? He hasn't done anything wrong, by the way. He was in court for something else. But his last tour, not this one, his last, and I don't know when his last tour was. It was recent because he lives on tour. His last tour was the biggest grossing tour of all time. Music tour of all time. And there's only him. He's not got, you know, he has a band, but it's not like Guns N' Roses or the Rolling Stones or you know, it's basically Elton John, isn't it? I mean, he has his faithful musicians who I've met because when he played in our lovely tent, our lovely field, was it last year or the year before? I was writing about this last night.
It's the year before.
Was it the year before? Yeah. I'm glad I didn't put that in. I took it out. I thought, I can't give this a date and a time because I can't remember when it was. But the band have been with him forever, like Rod Stewart's band. We'll talk about Rod Stewart between 8 and 8:30. Because the Dine and Disco, the final ever, the last ever Dine and Disco auction is this Thursday. And we will never be doing another one. And it starts at 7:15 in the morning. But Elton's last tour was the biggest grossing tour of all time. Guess how much?
Ten. I don't know how much tours gross. 10 million?
870.
Million?
Yes.
So that's nearly a billion.
Pounds,
that's $1 billion.
Well, the after costs?
No, that's turnover.
Okay.
So what is it with you? What do you want?
Details. Sorry.
No. Anyway, she didn't even get us a. This is all distraction, diversion from the fact she forgot to get us any Robbie merch. Mm. I don't think she went. I think she's watched the whole of Succession.
Deep fake Barcelona trip.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, because you'd remember the name of the cathedral.
Of course you would. You know,
you
which,
really
which stadium
would.
Was it? A
stadium. It had a little roof thing. Yeah.
Stadium.
Las Ramblas. It's basically 10 minutes from everywhere
away.
In Barcelona.
Yeah. Did you have a drink? Well, we had not
port.
Really.
Oh, it's on the sea, is it? Yes, we went to the port.
Yeah.
I had a Magnum down there.
What kind of Magnum?
The double caramel one with like the biscuity bit.
Oh, I thought you meant champagne.
Not the ruby bit. Not the ruby, the velvet Magnum.
No.
The pink velvet Magnum.
No.
Okay. No, so the reason the Elton John story is in the paper at the weekend was because they reckon this tour will be the first ever billion pound tour. Doesn't matter, does it? Give or take. It's 20% either way. They reckon this will be the world's first ever billion-dollar/pound tour.
Wow.
Good, eh? Today on Virgin Radio 80s Plus, in this week's My 80s Playlist, Steve Denyer, who is our coffee boy this morning because we're on a skeleton staff. By the way, everything's got to sound dodgy today, even more dodgy than usual, because otherwise the management will realise we can make the show with, like, no people, and then the people who are away today will never be invited back for various reasons. So if you can stuff up a clip in the news.
Yeah.
We've been stuffing up stuff since, 2018. In this week's My 80s Playlist, Steve Denyer chats to Transvision Vamp's Wendy James. Gave her a lift in the back of my car once. Vauxhall Nova. Wendy tells the story of growing up in the melting pot of 1980s West London, being friends with Joe Strummer, appearing on Top of the Pops, and her plans for new music. Her picks range from The Go-Go's, Martha and the Muffins, The Violent Femmes, and of course Transvision Vamp themselves. My 80s Playlist, Wendy James, every day from 4:30 p.m. on Virgin Radio 80s Plus with Steve Denyer. Steve Denyer, he at Virgin Radio 80s Plus, he of the Early Breakfast Show, and he of the coffee run this morning. Mm. We all owe Steve much, actually. Mm-hmm. Most of my career from here on in, because he just filled us up with the coffee. Anything else you want to talk about right now?
I am all good.
No! Wrong answer. Hey, Chris of the team, you need a trip up north, my friend. We're on it. Louise in Ramsbottom. Okay. Forget cheese and chocolate. Forget Happy Cheester. Forget the genius of Morrison's with their new cheese Easter egg. Okay, we're saying, does anybody do actual cheese and chocolate already? Well, the Cheshire Cheese Co. do the Hartington Creamery chocolate and chili cheese wedge.
Oh.
Okay, but Louise in Ramsbottom, she will see that and she will raise you the Ramsbottom Chocolate and Cheese Festival.
Word.
Sorry, Morrison's, you're in the shade. and the sunlight is all Ramsbottom's. Ramsbottom Civic Hall and around the urn and church garden Sunday, 2nd of April. It's this weekend, 12 till 4. The Chocolate and Cheese Festival. Fill your boots. Love it. Say cheese, everyone.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Vassos wants us to revisit the thing that's going to get him sacked.
No, no.
Why do you want us to do that?
What was the bit? Why was the what was the bit that we said before I did that?
We all forgot because of what you said.
Vassos and his son, is it?
Matthew, yeah.
Yeah. Have a competition to see who can sound the most Scouse while ordering what?
I'm not going to do it in a Scouse accent.
No, please
but
don't.
It's quite difficult to not to now. Chicken burger and chips and a can of Coke. Actually, and then we expanded the competition to encompass the rest of our family once.
And where does this competition come from? Where does that phrase come from? Why is it that phrase?
I don't know. It was Matthew's idea. We just said, can you say this in a Scouse accent? And then you do, and it's quite fun. It's quite a fun accent to do. Maybe not on the radio because you'll offend people, but just in private.
I'm not sure Scousers would be offended by it.
And then,
I'm not sure they wouldn't either, but I'm not sure they would.
And then Caroline had a go, and she'd have been better off just using her normal accent. It was so poor. But it's quite fun. It's one of those, accents is quite fun.
There was a very famous play called Our Day Out. Can't remember who it was written by. I think it was a Scouser who wrote it, and it was a play for today. This is before your lot's time. Willie Russell wrote it. And the BBC used to do these things called Play for Today's, and they used to put them on the telly, and they were brilliant. They were absolutely brilliant. And they were written by really famous playwrights, and they just used to put them on the TV, and everybody would look forward to, like people look forward to now a new series of Blue Planet or things like that, or Succession or whatever. Yeah. When there was a new series of Play for Today coming up, it was like, oh my, because they were so fantastic. They were so raw. They were so gritty. They were so meaningful. They were so profound. They were so brave. They were so real. But they were still entertaining, They were still really dramatic. And one of them was called Our Day Out, and it was about a school group who went on a charabang trip, a coach trip. And in it, there was this, there was this great phrase. One of the kids says, Mrs. Abercrombie is down the Aussie because she's had a heart attack. Now, you want to do that in a Scouse accent. Mrs. Abercrombie's gone down the Aussie because she's had a heart attack. It's unbelievable. And then there was this exchange at the back of the bus because one of the kids had a ciggy but was hungry and wanted a sarnie, and the other kid wanted a ciggy and had a spare sarnie. Give us a ciggy for a sarnie. Give us a sarnie for a ciggy. And so, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, there's a place where England played in the 2006 World Cup in a town in Germany called Gelsenkirchen, but that sounds much better in a Scouse accent. Gelsenkirchen.
So he went for it. He actually did go for it.
I thought it was all right because it's a German.
I was born 14 miles from Liverpool, so I think I'm allowed. Because when I went to Manchester, people thought I was a Scouser. When I went to Liverpool, people thought I was a Manx. So I've suffered. So I think I can go there. Succession? Should we talk about Succession?
Yes.
Stop it now. Teresa from Wimbledon says, I've also never seen The Crown and I tried Succession about a year ago and couldn't get into it. However, after many months of nagging from my husband, I started it again from series one last night, and three episodes in, I'm hooked. I wonder what changed. Well, interesting. Very interesting. Because I actually think, I can say this now, Tash and I, we were underwhelmed with Series 3. And Tash reminded me last night, she said, we didn't finish Series 3. We didn't finish Series 3. And so thank goodness for the catch-up at the beginning of Episode 1, Series 4. Basically, if you haven't jumped on the Succession bus, but you don't want to miss out on the water cooler chat, around now, it will fade 2 or 3 weeks in. Of course it will. Might come back for the end, might not, depends on how the rhythm of this series goes. You don't. You just watch the first episode of Series 4, and basically they recap on the whole thing that's happened before.
Great.
Because, you know, they're only pivotal points. It's not. It's not rocket science, is it? Anyway, international listeners, we're listening from Turin in Poland. Been listening to you every day on our travels in our motorhome. Since the 6th of March, Sharon and Chris in Poland now. My hubby has competed in the World Masters Athletics in Javelin. He achieved his season best. And we're now on our way home to the UK. Congratulations. Happy Cheaster, cheesecake Easter eggs. Here we go. My good friends Lunny and Gemma run the world-class Somerset Cheesecakery in Ilminster and have had cheesecake-filled Easter eggs forever. They're awesome. This is Bryony and Lightwater. There's Pickies.
What they've done. Oh, that's a shell of an egg.
Yeah, they've taken halves of Easter eggs, chocolate Easter eggs, and they fill them with cheesecake and cheese. So this is a thing. Morrison's have picked up on it. Well done to Morrison's. They got the first ever cheese Easter eggs this year. Josh in Chesterfield, there's a rumour that Subway actually pumped their smell out of their shops to attract customers in, as it's something that everyone recognises, which is why Rachel and her gang might have been able to sniff it out. I don't think it's a rumour. I think people have done it for ages. I think there are some places in America where if you're on, depending on which highway you're on, the outlet buys a site 500 yards before that and pumps the smell out. So you smell it in your car and then you see the sign and then you pull in. Why wouldn't you do that?
Mm. Wow.
It's just taking the, you know, if you're selling your house, have the smell of freshly brewed coffee or baked bread. You know, that it's just taking that to the next level,
to the
commercial level. Yeah.
Muddy in Buckinghamshire. The rays of AI is baffling me before a new plane is launched on the public. It is extensively tested before a new life-saving drug is launched. It needs years of trials and studies. Yet AI, a self-learning, life-changing technology, is tested on the general public, including children, with no controls at all discussed. Loving the show. It's not... I get it. I jump on board with you there. I mean, you could argue before a new life-saving drug is launched, it needs years of trials and studies. The vaccine wasn't. You know, and there's a big story about that yesterday, wasn't there, about under 30s ladies and issues that they may suffer or now be, you know, in more danger of, more risk of than before taking the vaccine. And that was in all the papers yesterday. But I know what you mean. It's out there. I mean, how do you... I don't know. I don't know what you do with it. Should we be frightened or not? Yeah.
I'm not frightened anymore.
Have you ever been frightened?
Yeah,
your guided mushroom trip in Amsterdam, you were frightened. You were more or less frightened by everything after you opened your eyes in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And since then,
nothing.
Like a superhero.
Fine.
Without the shield or the suit, don't need it.
It's just how we react to stuff.
Yeah. So what is it? It's not what happens. It's the story. There are facts and there are stories. Mm. And the facts don't have any drama in them. It's our stories that provide the drama. And because we all have, you know, even the most nuanced difference to our individual stories about a thing, whether it's a football match or a relationship, I don't know, this coffee cup, the Robbie Williams T-shirts that Rachel didn't buy for us, things like that, whether Robbie's a rock star or a pop star, it doesn't matter, star, whatever. It's the stories that provide the drama and the facts remain the same. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly that. Okay. Very Michael Singer of you.
Please don't tell him.
Yes, he'll sue.
No, he'll be overwhelmingly disappointed. Yes. My lovely friends, if you are partial to one of our auctions, we have our last ever Dine and Disco auction. Last ever. Or I'll give you all your money back myself, I promise. If we ever do another one of these, I'll find out. Everybody's email, say, okay, have all your money back. We are never doing another one. This is it. And the Frothy Coffee Man and I, from a Dine and Disco point of view, are going out with a bang. And you can be there to witness it. You can be part of the big bang by the River Thames. June 17, Saturday, June 17, Rod Stewart playing the last ever Dine and Disco in my garden. All right. There's going to be loads of shenanigans. Some people have emailed us. We have passed their emails on to the Frothy Coffee Man. We can do the same right now. If you want to email us, crystalevans@virginradio.co.uk. We will pass those on to the Frothy Coffee Man. I have to tell you that because I have to tell you it's very important that I tell you that for various reasons of responsibility. But we know him. You know, we've worked together for 19 years. He's okay. Don't worry about that. He will then send you or make you part of the database for the auction on Thursday if you want it that way around, or you can take your chance during the show. We're going to do seal bids again. This is the only auction where we do a blind auction, seal bids, and it works. We've never done it online before, though, and our friends at Bidding are going to do it online because they have a completely fantastic seal bid blind auction facility. And The other reason, well, the first reason we're doing it with those guys is because it's more exciting, because it's more colourful and it lights up like a slot machine in an amusement arcade. The amusing bit is you're going to get a great time. It's a win-win, and we're going to make loads of money for UK children's charities. But also, it means that we can do this donate button, which means everybody can have a go at being there on the day. We were going to save a 10 quid. I might make it 20, just so we double whatever we make. Because it's, you know, basically you're giving 20 quid to Children in Need and Rainbow Trust and Starlight and all the young epilepsy and all the other amazing charities that we're involved with. That's what you're doing for a bit of fun. So is it a tenner? Is it 20 quid? I don't know. You can make a voluntary donation. I think you can choose, can't you? It can be 10, 20, 50 or 100. That's what we'll do. We'll put all the choices on there and it's up to you. You have a little, you know, have a little longing, loving stare at those options. And if you can afford 20 as opposed to 10, do. And you could find yourself at the last ever Dining Disco. Tickets go under the hammer. The first 10, 7:15. The second 10, 8:15. And the final 15, 9:15. Because 15 people have paid up front for the buy it now price. To be honest, if you want to do that, you can still do it. There are rules. We can bend them. There are no T's and C's. There aren't any. There just aren't any. So it's all cool. That's going on. Vassos will be there. Rachel's off on her Hollybobs or seeing friends or something.
So it's my friend Nikki, who's one of my bridesmaids, lives in Australia now, but she is going to be in Holland for work. So, and she's known this for about a year. So me and our other friend Oki are going to be going out to see her for the weekend.
And what Rachel's doing is waiting for me to say, oh, don't worry, you can bring them too. That's what she's waiting. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
I'll definitely be there, and you live by the river, so if you want to join me in a little river swim,
me
before or after Rod, you or anyone who
bids, swimming anywhere near there, mate. There's a massive weir. You're not swimming there, pal. Not even you and your big strong arms. Okay. I will not allow you to do it.
Okay, no swimming, everyone. No, I will stop you going in the river.
Otherwise, the T's and C's will be knocking on our door. We don't want that to happen. Anyway, the point is this is going to happen. The last ever Dine and Disco going under the hammer. Those tickets are going under the hammer on Thursday on this show to see Rod Stewart. It's going to be the best ever. And it's all very, very exciting. Of course it is. Talking of the river, did you see the boat races on Sunday?
Yes, because our flight was massively delayed because of traffic controller strikes in France. We were trying to get through French airspace. So we sat on the tarmac at Barcelona for 2.5 hours before we could take off.
What, you mean you protested?
No, in the plane.
All right, okay.
And it meant that we could
watch... Overplaying your hand there. We sat on the tarmac.
As in we were in the plane on the tarmac, because it was one of those things where the pilot was like, well, our takeoff slot was in 4 minutes.
Yep.
We're going to miss that. We're not going to get there in time. So we're just looking for a new takeoff slot. That's in another hour and 45 minutes.
Right.
Oh! But then it meant that we could watch the boat race live on iPlayer on my phone.
Did you watch both or just one?
I then went to my phone, turned it on, and it was literally 30 seconds from the start of the men's.
So, and by the way, you're an old girl and your husband is an old boy of Cambridge. So obviously you had a dog in the race. You had two dogs in both races.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, for anybody listening from Oxford, the Blues, the Cambridge Blues won. They vanquished Oxford in both races in very similar fashions, by the way. So what happened in both races is that Oxford went off quickly in the ladies' race, but then were overtaken by half a boat length of by Cambridge. And then Cambridge started to wander. It's a very choppy day. It was like one of the choppiest days ever. The chop was right up on the River Thames. And then the Cambridge boat, because they thought they were so far ahead, they decided to change station and go for the more aggressive line in the middle of the river, which they're allowed to do, as long as they're a boat length ahead, which they sort of weren't. And then Oxford saw this, and Oxford started to increase their rowing rate, because if they could have hit the Cambridge boat, the Cambridge crew would have been disqualified. So it became a ramming competition for about 20 seconds, and they just didn't quite get there. But had they touched the Cambridge boat, it would have been Cambridge's fault, probably. Not definitively, but probably. That's what the commentators were saying. And exactly the same thing happened in the men's race. And I'm thinking, did Oxford really go for it? Because they could have increased their rate enough to hit that Cambridge boat. Or did they just back off thinking, we can't do that. That's just so unladylike and ungentlemanly-like. But those are the rules. Because if you going forward, if that is how it all could pan out, If you know that the other crew are stronger than you, and Cambridge were odds on in the women's race and slight favourites in the men's race, but they were definitely firm favourites, even though they're only slight favourites. You know, if you actually go, well, let's just wait, let's lull them over, seduce them over to change the station, go to the middle of the river, and then just whack them, because they could have done it. I mean, had they just risked everything, knowing that if this doesn't work, this push, because the push is unbelievable, and to recover from that push is like almost impossible, regardless of how fit you are. So, and then you might, you know, is it better to lose by 20, honourably by 20 boat lengths, or, you know, by 2.5 or 2 and not go down in the history books as an Oxford boat race winner? Vassos.
Eldest daughter, Emily, has a national medal. She's a national medalist in the National Rowing Championships. So she knows about all this stuff. And we're Oxford fans in our house because Caroline was at Oxford. And by the time the boats got to us, that had all happened. So Cambridge were... Because Emily was saying that once you're ahead, being able to see the opposition and respond to what they do is... such a mess. Hardly anyone, pretty much no one will ever, you know, re-overtake up once you've got that boat. Once you can see the others, you can just, so the race is won then. And she said exactly the same thing. You know, people don't really get disqualified in boat races. So if you're going down, if you feel like, you know, you're losing it and you are doing a big effort at the start, so it would be all out, you know, and then it would take a long time to recover. But if you feel like you're going down, the only thing to do, because you're not going to get disqualified, no one's got disqualified, really, is to just absolutely go for it. Get the clash of oars, get a bit of all that going on, get some drama. Sorry about that. Oh, did you lose an oar? Never mind. See you next year when we'll be the defending champions. Yeah.
It was really tactical, though. Like, I thought it was really...
I thought it was very exciting.
Like, even with the men's race, when it was at Jasper Parish, their cocks basically veered off around Craven Cottage to go into, like, the quieter
water. Yeah.
And they said at the end, they said, a cox can very easily lose the race, but it's very rare that a cox wins the race. And that was one occasion where the cox won the race for Cambridge.
It was really exciting. I don't know why it was more exciting this year than ever before. But, you know, Tash and I and the kids, we were all watching it, and we watched the ladies' race. Then we said, OK, meet back here in 15 minutes for the men's race. We did, and the men's race was even more exciting than the women's race, and I thought it was great. I loved it.
It's good fun watching it from the riverbank as well, although you wait. There they go. Bit of a flotilla after them.
Hang on a minute. It's like War and Peace compared to the Tour de France.
Yeah, exactly.
I was talking to Chris, who was one of our bidders, who spent the weekend at our retreat with us, running, by the way, the fittest, probably the fittest person we've ever had within that particular circle of winning bidders for the London Marathon. Also, he's 51. You remember the guy?
Yeah.
51.
No.
I thought he was, I honestly, 36, 37, 38, maybe 40. But I was like, you know, you're a good young 40, you know. 51.
Was that the guy who'd run the marathon to Saab?
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
Yeah, and every time we went on this sort of half marathon training run or trail run, which a lot of what was interesting about it is that a lot of the people in the group had never run on a trail before, and they went, "This is fantastic."
Yeah. Where do they run? Just on the roads?
Yeah, they just like I did the first time I ever trained for a marathon. I didn't run on trails. I ran around a lake that had a path, you know, and then I ran on paths and roads. Didn't run on trails. But they were like, this is amazing. This is great. I mean, the trainers were shot to pieces. They'll all have to buy new ones. I forgot to tell them that bit. But when we were running on the trail on Saturday morning, he would run ahead. And so if we were going up a hill, he'd sprint up the hill, come back down, tag us, up again, down again, up. And he'd try and see how many times he could do it before we did it once.
Was that inspiring or annoying?
Yes. It was a bit of both, depending on which way the wind was blowing. And there was plenty of wind as well. It was actually, we got the best of the weather, I have to say. How nice was yesterday?
Yesterday was a dream.
It was like a trail, wasn't it, for summer 2023?
Yes.
Coming this summer. More
sunshine.
Of this.
Sunshine.
Unfortunately, not this week and most of Easter, but maybe around June. It was gorgeous yesterday. We were like, oh, this is what... Yeah. We love where we live anyway. But yesterday, it's like, it was 1,000x. It was fantastic. Talking of where we live and the river, sticking with this for a second or two. Do you remember a few months ago when I said they've closed Marlow Bridge because they're making a film and they covered it in sawdust so it looked like it was 200 years old?
Yeah.
They closed the bridge and then Tom Hardy pitched up to jump off the river, off the bridge into the river, obviously while lots of people were filming him. in a role, and the role was Great Expectations, and it was broadcast on Sunday at 9 o'clock on BBC One. The reviews aren't great, but that scene was in episode one, and our house was on BBC One on Sunday night.
Have you pressed pause and like zoomed in to see if any of you are in the window?
Yes, we have.
And?
They CGI'd the facade of our house so it looked older than it is.
Oh.
And also, what's really interesting... No, I think it's fair enough. It's quite exciting, actually. We've got a massive beech tree. I think it's a beech tree. Or an oak tree. Next to our house. And they CGI'd another house over that. And next to the big tree now is Marlowe Rowing Club, which looks like a modern building. You know, it's a big modern kind of, not warehousey kind of, you know what I mean? It's it's a very sort of good value for money, massive structure with a pitched roof, but it's big. You know, it looks like a B&Q, to be honest. But now they cut, so they, apparently they can't change the shape of the buildings, but that was ye olde facade as well. and there are some modern flats opposite us. They were ye olde modern flats.
Right.
They CGI'd the whole thing. It was brilliant. I loved it. I was more thrilled than if it had just been our house. But also, between our house and the rowing club, they created another house. So that's maybe they looked back at some old photos and that house was actually there.
It's very clever of them. Slightly disappointing that you weren't, you know, in the background.
Hello. I'm done with telly. You read The Mirror a couple of weeks ago. Yes. I can't announce I'm giving up telly then appear on BBC One's Great Expectations, waving in the window.
Fair enough.
With my Top Gear T-shirt on. Can I? Goodbye, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.